Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
You know, today is Easter Friday, Good Friday, so we need to be in black. At least we are mourning. What are you mourning? Do you even understand why we do what we do during some of these Christmas festivities? In the morning, I was in black. But it's not about what I wear. It's about the understanding of what I'm doing. And some of you, if you should really and truly understand the reality of what Jesus did for you and I, you would live the rest of your life thanking him forever. Then I told somebody that, listen, when somebody begins to show you favor, and begins to show you privileges, gives you opportunities, make sure you don't turn that thing into a right. What am I saying? You should be able to distinguish between favors, privileges, and rights. Now, if you stay next, somebody like Maxwell, let me use Maxwell. Maxwell stays in my house. And I bring him to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. What he must understand is that I am doing him a favor. It is not my responsibility to bring him to church. And so the day I decide to drive alone, he shouldn't complain. Is that not it? Even my wife. It is not my responsibility to bring my wife to church. Is it? No. She must come to serve her maker on her own. So when I choose to drive my wife to church every Sunday, I am doing her a favor. It's not her right. And it is not my responsibility. The responsibilities of men, it is not written that I must bring my wife to church every Sunday. And what you and I also must understand this evening is that it is not our right for Christ to die for us. Like, he must die. He can't say he won't die. No, he could have said he won't die. He could have said it. If somebody has shown you favor and you really understood it for what it meant, you would always be grateful. But what do we see now? Now, Easter has become one of those things. That's it. So when people lose the significance of what Easter represents, how your freedom changed somebody's life forever. And tonight I'm going to explain it to you. I've seen mothers, because of their children, they've been deformed and they've remained deformed. One day a woman had a child, a very young girl. The girl was around, she was even a young girl, I think around 5 years or something. And she had a problem with one of her eyes. And they needed to do eye transplant. Because when they gave birth to her, one of her eyes was not working. And the woman decided to sacrifice her eye for her daughter. When the woman sacrificed her eye for her daughter, when the girl grew up and went to the secondary school, she felt shy of her mother and didn't want her mother to visit her in school because she couldn't afford to call a one-eyed woman as her mom. No, this woman can't be my mom. One of the days, her mother went to the school to look for her, and they told her, your mother is at the gate. She came and said, I don't know her. Oh, yes. Who is this woman? I've never met her. Yes, because of the eye. I am sure some of you have denied your parents in the presence of your friends because of how they looked and how they appeared. But you see, your freedom and my freedom altered the life of Jesus Christ forever. And I will explain it to you. Now, this is what I mean. Right after God gave Moses the Ten Commandments as to what to do and what not to do, what he required from the children of Israel, that was in Exodus chapter 21. So when you read Exodus chapter 20 and 21, it speaks of the Ten Commandments and the other laws that God gave Moses. Exodus chapter 20. In the next verse, 21, God begins to talk about something strange. Can we read it? Exodus chapter 21, from verse number 1. Let's read the NIV. Let's do it quickly. Look at it. So in Exodus chapter 21, God says that these are the laws you are to set before them. That's the children of Israel. Next. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But the seventh year, he shall go free without paying what? Anything. Oh, is somebody here? The Bible says that if you buy a Hebrew servant, the Bible said he's supposed to serve for 6 years. And after 6 years, on the seventh year, the servant is free to go. And you are not supposed to charge him for anything. Okay, next verse. If he came alone, he is to go free what? Alone. Yes. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. Do you understand what God is saying? Okay, fine. If anybody buys a Hebrew servant, and don't forget, he's talking to Hebrews. So he's telling them that if you buy your brother or your sister as a servant, in those days, one of the ways they buy servants who are their own people is that when you are owing me and you can't pay, you will serve me to pay for the debt. Yes. So that was how they were buying their own brothers and sisters as slaves. So the Bible says that if anyone buys a Hebrew slave, the Bible says, follow what I'm saying, the Bible says, after serving for 7 years, he's supposed to go free. But if he came alone, he's supposed to leave alone. But if he came with a wife, somebody should help her. Somebody should help her. That's good. Oh, you've tried. My wife is here. So the Bible says that if he came with a wife, then she is to go with him. Next verse. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to his master. And only the man shall go. What is the meaning of that? God is saying that If a Hebrew servant comes in alone, after the 7 years, he's supposed to go back alone. Follow this. But if before he came, he came to serve with a wife, then he's at liberty to go with his wife. But if he came alone and his master gave him a wife, the wife belongs to his master. And so when he chooses to go out after serving for 7 years, he's supposed to go alone and leave his children and his wife with his master. Next verse. Verse number 5. Why is God talking about this? After saying that thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, then you begin to talk about this. What does this mean? But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges.
And
he shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ears with an
awl.
Then he shall be a servant for what? What is the Bible saying? Let's go back to verse number 2. If anyone buys a Hebrew servant,
so be at all Hebrew ni akwa,
after 7 years he's free.
In fiensun so oko.
So number 1, the first thing we are seeing about Hebrew servants is that there is a duration to their work.
Is that not it?
Every Hebrew servant is supposed to serve for a particular period. After that period has been fulfilled, it's free to go. But if coming, he came alone, he should go alone. If he came with his wife, then his wife will go with him. But if his master gives him a wife, he dare not take his wife away. He must leave his wife behind and leave. Who is this Hebrew servant? And what is God talking about? This Hebrew servant God is talking about is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Go back. Now, how did Jesus come? Did he come with a wife? John 1:11. What is there? John 1:11. The Bible said he came to that which was what? His own.
Bible said oba onu ani diemu.
Did the Bible say they came?
No.
He came.
Bible said onu kwa ne bai.
So this Hebrew servant we are talking about came alone.
Hebrew ni akwe ya yeka no ma so.
And what is the law? Oh, tell me the law. What does the law say? He must live alone if he chooses to live. Now we see from this scripture that Jesus came alone. Is that not it? And the people he came to save did not receive him. Okay, that's good. Let's look at the next one. Now, if he comes alone, he should live alone. But if his master gives him a wife and he decides to go, he can't go with his wife. He must leave his wife. What wife was Jesus given? John chapter 6, the verse number 37. Then we'll jump to the verse number 44. Look at it. Let's try to look at what was Jesus given a wife. If we say Jesus is the Hebrew servant, look at what he says. He said, and all that the Father gives me will come to me. You understand what he's saying? All that means all the people the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So what we see over here, this Hebrew servant is being given people. Is that not it?
Yes.
Verse 44. The same scripture, 44. What is there? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So clearly we see that all the people that are coming to Jesus was given. Because Jesus said, you can't come to me unless my Father brings you or draws you. Do you know why you are a Christian? Do you know why you love Jesus so much? It is because you were brought. And the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 25 tells us.
Ephesians 5:25.
The Bible was trying to do some comparison between the husband and the wife. He used a perfect example, which is Christ and his wife. That's the church. So he said, husbands, love your wife just as. When we say just as, it means what? Yes. Exactly as. Even as. Christ loved the what? The church. And he did what? He gave himself for him. Is it for him?
No.
So what do you think the church is? The bride of Christ. So when talking about love and relationship between a man and his wife, the Bible uses Christ and the church.
And
so we see clearly that the wife that was given to Christ was the church. And after Jesus had served for the 7-year period, he has the right to say, I'm out. I'm going. And this season happened exactly in Gethsemane. When Jesus was praying, you don't know why he was sweating blood. He was faced with a very difficult decision to take. Do I say I quit and I leave? Or do I say I love the church? I love my wife. I love my children. I can't leave. But
here's
the problem. When you declare that you love your wife, you love your master, you love your children, you'll be a slave forever. That is why Jesus had to spend 3 hours praying about one thing. And that is why he said the flesh is weak. What is he saying? I wish I could go out. I wish I could quit. I wish. You see, how many servants can say I love my master? Take me back to my scripture, Exodus. How many? No, do you love your madam? How many? You are not a servant. You are just an apprentice. How many apprentices can say I love my madam? But the Bible says, next verse. Look at it. When the servant declares, next verse, verse number 4. When the servant declares that, is he? Let's go. But if the servant declares that I love my master first, what is he doing? He's putting his master's will first. Even before that of his wife and children. That is why Jesus didn't say that, okay, you know, I want to die for the church. But he said, let your will be done. That's what he said that. So here, his love was demonstrated towards his father. When I want to work by my will, I will walk out. But I don't want to work according to my will. But let your will be done. And in that garden, he had to take a decision, a very serious decision. Do I go or I stay? I came to these people. The people I came to rejected me. And I'm sure that night he was shown the humiliation, the disgrace, the trouble, that was awaiting him the next morning. And the most important thing is that if he should accept, he will be a servant forever. That is why you read your Bible and you don't even understand why the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand side of the Father interceding for you.
It's now kind trust him. Now on tia si adien tia trust him.
You and Jesus, who is serving who? Let me ask you a question. Who is serving who? No, are you the one serving Jesus or he is serving you? Tell me. So if the man declares that I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, then the next thing is let his master take him to the judges. It is very funny how God describes the cross. Next verse. Then let his master take him before the judges. And he shall take him to the what? The door. What is the door? That wood. Take him to the wood. It is in our days that we have metal doors. Those days, all the doors were wooden doors. So it means that if he declares that he loves his master, he loves his wife, he won't go and he will serve till he dies. Then take him to the cross.
And the final question you answer.
And give him over, hand him over to the judges, the leaders, the people of decision, power to take decisions. Leave him into their hands. That is why Jesus said to Pilate, listen. You have no authority. Except that I have been given to you. That is why. Why? Because his master must take him to the judges. But something is going to happen. They must pierce his ears with an owl. You see, in our local dialect, we call it fiti. They put a metal into fire. Yes, they will put a metal into fire and they will pierce his ears like this.
And they will pierce
this one too. And it will never heal. They will forever. And anybody who comes across such people, they know that this person is a slave willingly. He wasn't forced to be a slave. He willingly decided to be a slave. You don't understand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, one thing that Jesus can never claim on his body is the wounds on his hand and on his legs. You go to heaven and you see it will never die, that wound in his hand. And that wound on his legs, where the nails were pierced through, it will never die out. He will continue to have the scars even after everything. Even after heaven and earth is destroyed and there is a new Jerusalem and whatever, that scar will be there.
Yes,
it will never come. Now, for you to understand, let's finish this. Then he shall be a servant for what? For life. Next verse. If a man sells his daughter as a servant, she's not to go free as men servants do. If she does not please the master who selected her for himself, he must let her be redeemed. Do you understand what we just read? If I buy a female slave, and that slave doesn't please me anymore, she still can't be free. If she wants to be free, somebody must pay for her.
So,
who is this slave you are talking about? It is you and I. We have been slave to sin. The Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so because of that, Romans chapter 6 verse number 23 was enacted.
Romans chapter 6
for the wages of sin is death. And so there was no way you and I could have been free. Go back to the scripture we just read. The Bible said if you buy a female slave, she can be free like the way a man's servant will be free. If a woman wants to be free, she must be bought or redeemed. That is why Jesus had no other option than to die for you. So through his death, we were redeemed. That is why the Bible says we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. Redemption means to buy out. This book is for Kelvin. I want the book. And they've warned him that you can't dash this book out. Anyone who wants it must buy it. So I come in and I pay the price for the book. And now I dump the book down and I say, book, you can go wherever you want to go. This book must never forget.
That
she's not free because she wanted to be free.
This
book is free because she was bought. That is why the Bible tells us, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? And so because of that, anybody who destroys the body, God will destroy.
Why?
Because you were not free. Somebody must pay. But the price was too costly. No, the price was costly. The price for you to be free was for somebody to remain a servant for the rest of his life. Let me end by reading John chapter 13. Let's listen to what Jesus said in John chapter
13.
John 13 from verse number 1 quickly. The Bible said it was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. What is the full extent of God's love? I know you will say something. What is it? Tell me. The death? No. No. I love you. I said I love you. But now I want to show you the full extent. When you say something is the full extent, like the measurement of my love. I want to demonstrate it. And what is that full extent of God's love for you and I?
Let's read it.
So now he has now decided to show them what? The full extent, apart from this thing, there is nothing else. What is it? The evening meal was being served. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father has put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God.
Now,
follow the scripture we are reading. Now, we are still trying to look at what is the full extent of God's love. Next verse. So he got up. He did what?
Sorry.
Look at the full extent of God's love. Number one, he got up from the meal. And he took off his what? Outer clothing. Remove his clothes. And it was left with his boxers.
And a car.
And he wrapped a towel around his.
No, the towel at all, nothing.
You don't understand what he's doing. That is the work of servants in Israel. What Jesus is doing right now is the work of a servant, it's not the work of a master. Follow the story. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet.
No.
You don't do that as a master.
That
is the work of a servant. Because of the desert and the dust in Israel, when masters go out and they come back home, the servant will kneel down, put his master's feet on his legs, remove his clothing, wrap a towel around his waist, wash his master's feet and remove the very same towel to clean his master's feet. And after that, he will greet his master, and his master will enter the house. But because of what this man has willingly decided to become, even his disciples were more valuable than himself. What you don't know
is
that you even have more status than Jesus Christ. You are not a servant, you are free. But in order for you to be free, he became a servant for the rest of his life.
And
it will never change. Jesus will never change from a servant. He will continue to be a servant even after the world has
elapsed.
So he took a towel, wrapped it around his waist. And what happened? He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that is wrapped. Do you understand what that means? I'm using this towel to rub myself. Now, after washing your feet, I dry it with this very same towel. And when I finish, I'll put it on myself. What does that mean? You are more valuable than I am. Is that not it? And that is what Jesus has become for you and
Yes.
Next verse. Let me finish. When he came to Simon Peter, this guy, I like him.
Simon Peter.
And sometimes he opens us up to know more. But when he came to Simon, Simon said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You understand what he's saying? Lord, he didn't call him master. Lord, which means my God. Are you coming? You, who is God? Coming to wash me, my feet. What did Jesus say? What he said shocked me. What Jesus said shocked me. Then Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing. What I'm doing, you don't understand. Yes. But later, you would understand. If Peter had not allowed Jesus to wash his feet, he has destroyed Jesus' servitude. And Jesus will cease, because of Peter, cease to be a servant, and he has broken the Hebrew law. If he had not washed Peter's feet, he no longer continues to be a servant, of which he willingly decided that he will be. And he has broken one of the commandments of God, and he must be stoned to death according to the law. So Jesus said, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing, but take your time, you understand later. Then listen to what Peter said. No, said Peter.
Peter said, Debbie,
you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. He didn't say in me. The Bible said, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. And Jesus is not talking about salvation over here. He's talking about fellowship. You have no part with me. Like, come. What are we doing? Ike is with me, eh? It's Ike in me. Ike is not in me. Ike is with me. And Jesus is saying that if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have no part with me. In other words, I can't fellowship with you. I can't fellowship with you. Then what did Peter say?
Peter Carden.
Like, okay. Then he said, Lord, okay, fine. Not just my feet, bath me.
And the Roman Nazi dry.
My hands and my head as well. So you bath me. Like, let me remove my clothes and bath me.
Mamini matari ne dry me.
And listen to what Jesus said. Anyone who is bathed already does not need another bathing.
Jesus said, the dry no here dry.
A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. What is Jesus saying? Once you are saved, you are saved. Once he has saved you, you are saved. You don't need to be saved again and saved again. No. But he says that what you need is the cleansing of your feet. from dust. You need cleansing. Look at it. Though not all of you was talking about Judas. Next verse. Let me end. My time is up. For he knew who was going to betray him. Is that not it? That was why he said, not every one of you was clean. Next verse. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then he asked the question, do you understand what I've done for you? Next. Then Jesus now begins to correct them. He said, anytime you are calling me, you call me teacher and Lord. And he said, that's good. That's who I am. Rightly so. For that is what I am. But if Jesus says it's good for them to call him teacher and Lord, why did he change it? Look at the next verse. 14. Now that I, your Lord and what? Teacher. What is the meaning of that? Anytime the disciples call Jesus, they call him teacher first, then Lord second. But Jesus said, oh, don't worry, you are not mistaken, you are right. But if I then be your Lord,
teacher,
and I ask myself, what does this mean? If you can understand the full extent of his love, you should know who he is.
So betting it done, I say, was so who nipa bayan oye.
Do you know Jesus is God?
When him say yes, we in yame.
But do you know that because of you,
when him say wunti,
the creator of heaven and earth became a servant?
Your boss, Ronia, says, beye aqua.
So tell me if this is not love. You tell me.
Touch him, say, when your door.
Tell me if this is not the full extent of the love of God. What is that full extent? The full extent of God's love is that he has become something he has never become before. Number one, because of you, he became his own creature, something he has created. He became what he has created. And after that, he became lesser than what he has created. You will not understand. And my time is up. But listen to
me.
If you understand what I'm teaching you, then you really see how that man called Jesus sacrificed his dignity, sacrificed his credibility, and his reputation for you. And even chose the place of a servant. So that in heaven, when you go to heaven, you think you are going to worship God. He's going to serve you. I gave you a picture. You remember that picture? This is the modern way of whatever. The modern way of Jesus washing his feet. Now, zoom it. Make it bigger. I just want you to look at something. You see this one, because of politeness and what have you, they put some white cloth on him. Have you seen what is wrapped around his waist?
Oh, dear, dear,
it is called a girdle. We call it napkin.
Your friend or a apron.
Is that not it?
Yes.
We call it a girdle. This girdle plus the holes in his hands and feet is what symbolizes his servanthood. And it will surprise you to know that Jesus can never remove this thing on him. Even till today that I'm talking to you, this thing is still wrapped around his waist. He can never remove it, and he will never remove it. Because that symbolizes his slaveness. That is what makes him a slave. In Revelations 1:13, I'm sure.
Revelations 1:13.
Can we do that? So look at what is wrapped around him. I said it's called a girdle. A piece of cloth that is hanged around the waist. Now that, Revelations 1:13. And among the lampstand was someone.
So
John saw a vision and he saw seven lampstands. And he said, among the lampstand was somebody.
John hun kan e duansun na na obi
the person looked like the son of man
na ni pan ti se nyameba
dressed in a robe dressed in what a robe a long robe reaching down to his feet
I drew ne na se
with a golden sash around his waist. Now keep this. You don't understand the sash. Give me King James. King James? KJV? Look at it. The Bible said he was dressed in a cloak and a robe, and he girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Around his what? He get about the paps. You don't understand this one. Change it to another version. NLT, another version. Let's do this. You are going to pray. I'm not going to pray for you. You are not going to pray for me. You are going to pray and thank that Hebrew gentleman for what he did for you. Perhaps you didn't understand what he did for you. Look at it. Okay. It is also using the same. So he was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across the chest. So this one is using another word, across what? The chest. Like an apron type. That's what you people use. Apron. Okay, another version. Let's do message or something. Okay. So he girded about the chest with a golden band. So when you have a typical, see, I pray one of these days I'll show you a video about what I'm talking about. This golden girdle or sash or whatever band is what the Israelis use in identifying slaves.
And Israel for the
and because of you and I, this man has become something he never used to be.
Yes,
that is why if we go to heaven without Christ, we don't know anybody over there. And the angels will ask, who are you? I'm telling you, what are you doing over here? You don't belong here. And some of you think that when we go to heaven, you see Kwekwa Mankwa over there, you see Yao Frimpo over here. It is not true.
And sir,
it is not true. When you go to heaven,
so of course, right,
you'll be shocked that as we all gather in heaven, God will see only one person. And that is Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible calls the church the
bride.
No, the body. What is body? No, what is body? Come. Who is this? I. Is this his body?
Yes.
This is the body of Ike. Does he have bodies?
Oh,
so if the Bible says the church is the body of Christ, listen.
The Bible says,
what it simply means is that the whole church will come together to form this man. So as we go to heaven, we are not going to see you over here. This person is playing with one of the angels. This person is playing Alikoto. No. In heaven, perhaps you will form the eye.
Yes.
Perhaps you'll be part of those who form the hair. That is why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You think you are going to stay at where the angels are and mingle with them? You say, hey, Michael! No. No. You are going to have your chamber with your husband. With Christ. In heaven, we are nobody without Christ. That is why one time he said in John, he said, if you remain in me,
so bet na me mu,
and I in you.
Na mat
what's the meaning of that? You in me and I in you. Now, are they? Now, this is what it meant. Thank you.
As a trainee.
When Jesus comes to earth, he's a stranger.
Yes, here.
He doesn't know anybody. The only person he knows is you. That is why he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't know anybody, and nobody will open him except those who know him. When you open him, he's coming straight up into your heart. So as you see the beast standing over here, you are seeing Christ in you. The hope of what?
Glory. Glory.
But when you and I also go to heaven,
say,
you don't know Michael,
Michael,
you don't know Gabriel, you don't know Gabriel, anybody.
Mobia.
So then you also need to be in him for you to understand how things go on in heaven. So when you pray, you say, this is what I ask in the name of Jesus. And God looks down, who is that? He doesn't see you. He sees Jesus Christ. And he said, hey, Jesus, give him whatever
you can.
And so through Jesus, you get everything you need. Not because of you. So, see, the lens of God, he sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ.
It's
like Jesus Christ is the spectacles God is wearing. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see anybody. He still sees his son. That is why, that's the secret. Let me tell you, that's the secret behind your survival and the answers to your prayers. Till today, as I'm preaching now, God doesn't see Pastor Amos because he doesn't know
Pastor Amos.
He only knows me through Jesus Christ. When he looks down, he sees Jesus preaching. That is why Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. You don't understand. Stand to your feet, let's go home. Without me. He said, if I put me outside and try to do something, it will not work. It
will not work.
Do you understand the love of Jesus for you?
So
are you very grateful to him for what he has done for you?
So we need
I want you to lift up your voice in the next few seconds. Thank God from your heart. Say, Lord, I thank you so much that me too, you have remembered me. Who am I? David said, what is man that you are minded of? Do you want to lift up your voice? Let's thank God. Thank him.
Father, we
thank him.
Father, we thank you.
Thank him. That because of him, of you, he chose the form of a servant. And because of you, he became what he never used to be. And all this he did for you and I for free. One thing he said was that, are they not 10 people that were healed? But why is it that only one of you have returned to thank me? And where are the 9? You want to lift up your voice. Let God know that you are grateful for him dying for you on the cross. Let him know that you thank him so much for not leaving you behind. Thank him that he had a choice to leave, but he chose you. You want to lift up your voice and thank God. You want to lift up your voice and thank God. You want to lift up your voice and thank God. Thank God for choosing you. Thank God for not leaving you behind. Thank God for not leaving you in the grip of the devil. Thank God that when the devil had dominion over your life, he came to your rescue. Thank God that he paid the price for you and your family. Thank God that he paid the price for you. Thank God that he became a slave so that you will be free. Thank God that he became a slave so that you will be free. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. We want to pray our last prayer. I was watching a movie recently, and there was a man who told his son to run away because they were being attacked. He said, run. And the boy went to hide. And the father also went to hide. Then as they were hiding, the boy came out again to come and look for his father. And they were looking for his father. When the boy came out, he was grabbed. And the killer put a gun to the guy's head and he said, listen, I am counting to 3. If you don't come out, I'm going to kill this child. 1. 2. Then the man came out and said, I'm here. Just take me. I'm the one you are looking for. Let him go. Let him go.
Me
and they took the boy, threw him outside, and they shot his father. As I watched that movie, I just remembered what Jesus did for you and I. He had a chance to run away. He had a chance to escape. He had a chance to say, oh, let him die. I'll give birth to another child. But because of you and I, he handed over
his life.
And he came to die. So that they would let you go scot-free. Isn't this enough for us to thank
him?
Isn't this enough for us to appreciate
him?
And for your information, all those who learn to appreciate God, you are going to receive the benefit of the cross Pastor Inda spoke about. But you want to thank God. Let him know that, Father, my name is Sarah. My name is Deborah. And I want to say thank you for what you did for me on the cross. You want to say, Father, thank you. I didn't know the extent of your love until tonight. That not knowing that it's not really that you came to die, but you became what you never used to be. And that because of me, you became a servant. You want to lift up your voice? Let's pray as we go home. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, daughters have a song.
Daughters
one. Your door's through. No babe, we was in the aneso. Did you come? Is that not it? There is a point. I like that point. I see. Of our party beaton. I want to pray for you. Everything Jesus did on the cross was not for himself but for you. Now, many people be because I'm saying, when you said, yes, we are not going to be able to say, I'm going to be able to say, and your man is doing a blue ding in us. And I said, okay, your man is doing a blue ding in us. What are they? Send a bear who put it in Jesus now. I'm going to go to Jenny now, but I want to see, I'm a woo. And you know, it's pointing at your man is needing us. I'm asking you a question. Why won't he and a boy, yes, who are so man in these? Because of you. It's when you shout the name Jesus, then the Bible said every knee must go down. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Jesus bled on the cross as he hung over there for you in seven places. Head. A crown of thorns was put on him. And what that blood did was to deliver us from worries and thoughts, mental problems, every issue and problems related to the mind and the head. The blood of Jesus set us free. In his hands he bled, and that blood was to redeem you from financial struggles. He bled from his side to redeem you from marital issues. Do you know that the church, which is called the bride of Christ, was taken from the side of him? And where was Eve taken? Where was Eve taken?
From
the side of the man. So the bleeding or the pouring of the blood on his side was for all our marital conflicts and issues. I'm going to anoint you today. He bled from his feet such that when you walk on scorpions and serpents and every deadly thing, it will not harm you. Is somebody here with me? He bled at his back. I don't want to continue because of that. I want to pray for you and anoint you that these seven areas where Jesus blessed, the blood will bring freedom to you. In all these seven places, in the mighty name of Jesus. You want to come? Grab the offering bowl, drop it here. We drop our offering, then we take our oil and we go home. God bless you. Can we have the offering bowl? Or the basket? Yes, let's do it quickly. Please lift up your offering. Let's go. God bless you. Let's do it quickly. Hey, mommy. Please bring your offering. Let me pray for you. The first 10 people. Father, anoint your son. Cause him to receive the benefit of the cross.
Amen.
May the benefit of the cross be your portion.
Amen.
May the benefit of the cross be your portion.
Amen.
May the benefit of the cross be your portion.
Amen.
May everything Jesus died to pay for you be given to you. May you receive financial freedom, freedom from sicknesses and bondages. May you receive power in the name of Jesus. You drop your offering, then you come, lift up your voice. As the oil is being poured on you, lift up your voice and pray. Ask God everything he died to save you from. May you be saved from it. Whatever he died, whatever he died to give you, may you receive it tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. May the death of Christ on the cross cause you to receive all the benefit that is related with it. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Receive the touch of God. Receive the touch of God in the mighty name of Jesus. May God touch you in Jesus. Now lay your hand where the oil was poured. You want to confess every single blessing that is related to the death of Christ. You want to confess and say that it is my portion in the name of Jesus. Let us talk to God. Father, every blessing that is related to the cross, I decree and I declare that I have received it. I have received power. I have received freedom. I have received deliverance. I have received financial breakthrough. I have received expansion. I have received satanic bondages. I am free from it in the name of Jesus. I have received every single blessing you have given me through the blood. I receive all those things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, I pray for your children.
Amen.
As they are living here, they will not leave your presence. May your oil continue to work for them. May whatever blessing is related and associated to Easter, let it be their portion in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for financial breakthroughs. Thank you for a marital breakthroughs. Thank you for educational breakthroughs. Thank you for job breakthroughs. Thank you that you have met your people at their point of need. I prophesy today over their life that they shall succeed and not retrogress in life. I didn't hear anybody with an amen.
Amen.
But I speak prophetically over your life. After this anointing service, whatever was impossible for you is going to become possible. Whatever was stolen out of your life is being returned in the name of Jesus. Whatever never used to work is going to work for you in Jesus' name. May you go in the power of the Lord. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call +233 503 861 399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.